For WFHB in Bloomington, this is Hereabouts,
a collaboration with the IU Asian Culture Center.
Hello, welcome to the February episode of Hereabouts. I'm Joyce Lamb.
I'm Hiba Butt.
And we're producers of Hereabouts. Today, we're going to be having a discussion about our theme for this episode, which is love, specifically what it means in the Asian American community. There's this article that was published pretty recently on January 12th, 2019, titled Why We Struggle to Say I Love You by Viet Thai Nguyen. And basically, he provides his analysis of the history of racism and why that contributes to why Asian American parents don't say I love you. Hiba, if you could elaborate more on the article, that'd be great.
Yeah, Viet Thai Nguyen basically starts off the article discussing how Sandra Oh won a Golden Globe for Best New Actress this past month for his show Killing Eve. And during her acceptance speech, she actually said I love you to her parents in Korean, which sparked the conversation that we were just talking about on why Asian American parents and kids often don't say I love you to each other. He provides his own story, and he grew up in the 1980s as a Vietnamese American. And he states that many times he was sometimes the only Asian in social situations, and he was one of the few Asians to attend a mostly white public school.
Which brings us to our next question. Why does he think our parents don't say, I love you? Or why don't we say, I love you to them either?
One of his arguments was actually that racism has caused us to kind of be ashamed of our own identity. And he states that many times many of us were bullied or maybe made fun of and in the worst situations called some racial slurs, and that actually caused us to kind of hate our identity and not really be confident, making love a very difficult topic to discuss. In the worst case, he claims that because many of our parents also came from bad situations, some of them struggled with poverty, hunger, famine, etc. before they immigrated here to the United States. He claims that many of us were ashamed from their life that they had before they moved to the United States, and that actually contributes to why we don't say I love you.
And that's a really interesting point that he brought up, but do you agree with Viet Thai Nguyen's comment of us being ashamed of our parents? He claims that this is because of racism and some of the circumstances that our parents had to grow up in which we are ashamed of them, but these circumstantial situations, they have no control over.
I actually didn't agree with that at all, because just because we as Asians, and I'm sure other groups also, we don't say I love you, not because of the fact that we're ashamed or that we don't love our parents, which I'm sure we do. But I think it actually goes back to love languages and the way we kind of show our love in the Asian community. It's often through having a good education and our parents wanting us to succeed. And this actually also relates to the model minority myth, because our parents want us to be doctors and lawyers and engineers. And instead of explicitly saying, I love you, they want the best for us, which oftentimes comes in financial security, which is an aspect that they didn't have when they were growing up in Asia.
For those in our audience who don't know what the five languages are, they're in five categories. One is receiving gifts, having quality time, receiving words of affirmation, having acts of services or devotion, or physical touch. I would say, in the Asian American community at least, our parents displayed more of either giving gifts and performing acts of services. And so it's not so much words of affirmation, it's just different ways and then expressing their love. So I don't think why we don't say I love you is stemming from our family history. Rather, it's just ingrained in culture. And this is something that even our parents faced and their parents, but not necessarily something that is brought up to attention until when they migrated here. And us, the new generation, are surrounded by our peers whose parents express different ways of saying I love you. So that doesn't necessarily dictate that we're ashamed. It's just different ways of expressing love. But our parents perform these acts of service so we can have a better life than them in these circumstances. They want us to have these professions, like you said earlier,
Yeah, so I talked about how the model minority myth has really impacted this. Many Asian Americans go into very professional fields like becoming a doctor, becoming a lawyer, an engineer, a businesswoman, etc., etc. But many times, he actually also discussed in the article how if Asian Americans don't go into these particular fields, if they choose to go into the liberal arts, if they choose to become writers, artists, actors like Sandra Oh, our parents actually treat us a bit differently. I don't know about you, Joyce, but have you seen that at all?
My parents definitely do fall in that category. They want me to be, at first, a doctor. They wanted me to compromise with them and in which I can pursue a career in law. They want to support this profession by, again, acts of service. They would put me in classes just to prepare for examinations and whatnot. This is just for them to prepare me to have this profession that they want me to have. It's definitely an example of Nguyen's article, what he speaks of, in which they display love for us to have these professions because they want us to essentially have a better life than them. My parents, for example, they immigrated to the United States when they were children. Both my father and mother were living in poverty and they had a hard time, and my grandparents immigrated with them to the States to achieve a better life. And because they don't want me to witness the same circumstances as them, they put me in these classes, like I said earlier. They want me to have this profession that they want me to have so that I can live more comfortably than they do. And that is just their way of displaying love. What about you, Hippa?
To a certain extent, my parents, they still always encourage me to do what I want. They've never ever said that I should become a doctor or anything that follows the model minority myth. They've always said to follow whatever I want and, in a cliche way, follow my dreams. But I definitely see them sometimes saying and asking me as well, as an international studies major, like, what are you gonna do? How do you guarantee financial security? Because for a doctor, when you come out of med school, when you go through residency, you're making a certain amount of money and it's a very comfortable life, and the same for a lawyer and etc. But with an industry that's so broad, you can kind of work in anything. So I definitely understand, Joyce, what you're saying. They want the best for you, and that's their main idea of love, is just wanting you to live comfortably and happily. And I think they often associate that in what field you work in and how much money you make to a certain extent. Also, Viet Thai Nguyen basically states that as Asian Americans, we need to do better with our parents and vice versa. They need to learn to be proud of us regardless of what fields we go in and what job we get, because at the end of the day, whatever we're working in makes us happy. He states that in Sandra Oh's case, she became an actress, and that probably wasn't the first profession that her parents had thought for her. He became a writer, which obviously wasn't the first profession that his parents thought of either. He states that we need to honor the sacrifices our parents made for us to come here, but they also need to honor our decisions of what field that we go into and where we want to work, and that's just kind of the compromise we have with each other. This is Hereabouts. I'm Hiba Butt.
And I'm Joyce Lam.
And you're currently listening to the February episode, where we are speaking on the topic of love and what it means to the Asian American community in response to Viet Thai Nguyen's opinion piece, Why We Struggle to Say I Love You.
And now I'm just wondering, how does that translate into love with our relationship with our parents? Hiba, do you want to speak about your relationship with your parents and the way that you show your love to your parents?
Yeah, I think my relationship with my parents has definitely improved, especially after leaving home, coming to college, especially because I don't see them all the time. And I don't know if you feel the same way, Joyce, but the term distance makes the heart grow fonder, definitely makes you appreciate your parents, and sadly, sometimes you appreciate things when they aren't there anymore. So I think my parents also appreciate me now that I'm gone, and I appreciate them just as much, even though I do go home and I see them quite often.
That's like what we were mentioning earlier in terms of love languages. You go home often to see your parents. That's an act of service. So it's also how we express our love to our parents through acts of service. Is I don't necessarily hug my parents. I don't necessarily say, hello, mother, I love you. Nor do I say that to my father. But it's a different dynamic compared to my peers and how they express love.
I think one of the ways that we as Asian Americans actually can profess our love, like you said, Joyce, we don't necessarily hug our parents or explicitly say, I love you, even though sometimes we can hear our peers where we grow up saying that, is actually through respecting our parents and doing as they say. Many Asian Americans in general, amongst other groups, have also grown up in many strict households where there were strict rules, and our respect and our idea of professing love to our parents was following those rules, because we, like I mentioned before, we acknowledged the sacrifices that they made for us. So a repayment of that is wanting to listen to our parents and understanding that what they want is the best for us.
This goes back to expectations again of respect in regards to love. A lot of my fellow Asian American peers experienced growing up as well. We would share similar narratives. We would respect our parents in return for their acts of services done. So, for example, my parents, they see us as an emotional investment in which we're not a total burden, because they invest a lot of time, effort, and resources into us so we can fulfill these professions or fulfill a sense of financial security later in life, that we could also provide them a comfortable retirement as well. I don't know, Hiba, if you are expected to do that, but I definitely have this expectation from my parents that I will provide them, essentially help them with their retirement. And that comes from respect, and it's just ingrained in a lot of my culture, at least as a Chinese American woman or child of Chinese immigrants, that I'm supposed to help them in the long run as an act of service.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, Joyce, as well, because I think something that is very relevant in the Asian community is the communal aspect of the community and the fact that family is very family oriented and nothing is ever personal. It's all about the culture. It's about the community and wanting to help each other out. And I definitely understand, like, I'm also expected to take care of my parents as an act of service, not because I'm forced to, but because, like I mentioned before, it goes back to us wanting to take care of them because they have spent so much time and money and resources into us. They put us all through school so we can live a good life and have a certain amount of security when we grow up. And I think that just goes back to the fact that you can't be selfish. It's all about the community.
You mentioned that a lot of our culture is family oriented. I actually wanted to talk about love in the sense of family and how a family in our culture, there's a lot of intensive matchmaking and yes, it's very complex. And I would like to talk about that today. I think it would be really interesting to delve into.
One thing that I think would be interesting to share is actually, like you mentioned, Joyce, the whole like matchmaking, arranged marriages that are very relevant in Asian culture. My parents, for example, they were introduced by this woman who knew both sides of the family, and she knew both of my parents individually and suggested that they meet up, get to know each other, and just see how things go. And they met, I think they met in November, and in February they were engaged, and 6 months after that, 7 months I think, they got married. So it was a very quick process. The whole matchmaking comes from if two individual parties would work well together, I think, but it also is very, like I mentioned before, very family oriented. If the families complement each other, if they get along, like they mentioned, you're not just marrying each other, you're marrying the families as well. Is that something that you saw, Joyce?
Yeah, definitely. My parents, for example, is sort of similar to your story in the sense that my grandmothers were classmates and they remain in touch and they got into contact and they realized that my mother was around the same age as my father and that they should meet. And they met And after 3 months, they became engaged. And soon after, they were married and were expected to start a life together. And it's interesting because a lot of behind-the-scenes matchmaking comes from honor. And I wouldn't say it's an arranged marriage, but a lot of aspects are considered, like if they share the same sense of morals, if they come from the same background. And this is definitely shown in how my parents raised me. It's still very family-oriented, very selfless acts of services. My mother lives very altruistically in how she raised us. And that makes me wonder, what does our generation, Hiba, as Asian Americans living in the US right now, clearly we're not going to have the same experiences as our parents in terms of intensive matchmaking, as I like to say, for lack of a better phrase. How do you predict our experiences will have in terms of love and expressing love? Because it's going to be different from our parents and their previous generations.
Yeah, I think, like you mentioned before, it's going to be different. And I think there will be kind of two sides to a story battling each other. There'll be the expectations from our family values and traditional values that we were raised in. And often some of that comes from the elders in our family, like our parents, our aunts and uncles, and our grandparents. And if you actually look at the half generation, the generation in their 30s, who are 10 years older than us, but in a way 10 years younger than our parents, just to generalize, the way they got married, some of it was very matchmaking intensive, other times it wasn't. So I think it's just, they were that transition age. I think for us, not hearing I love you and words of affirmation from our parents has sometimes made it a bit difficult for us to express love, and the way we do it mimics our parents, which is through acts of service. We might buy food for our friends and we might ask them if they're doing well, ask them if they had enough sleep, if they've eaten well, if they're stressed. So it oftentimes isn't just explicitly I love you.
Actually, for me, I've had quite the journey with love, well, expressing love, because with family, I don't express words of affirmation saying I love you or anything, but like you said, acts of services. When I call my parents or my grandparents, I ask them what they've been doing, what they've been eating, if they've been well, what are they going to do, just checking their day-to-day, making sure that they know that I care by keeping contact with them. That's just my way of showing I love you. But in terms of, let's say, platonic love, I would say I'm more expressive. Maybe it's a sense of rebellion in how I was raised, with the lack of saying maybe I love you or hearing I love you from parents, grandparents, other relatives. I say I love you a lot to friends in a sense of platonic love. I say that a lot, use lots of words of affirmations, different facets of me. Maybe it's overcompensation for the lack of saying I love you or something, but I'm very affectionate in that sense. So I think for me, and maybe other peers as well who are in my situation, who share the same experience as me, we're currently just redefining love. So it's something to consider and to think about. Definitely, we're not going to have the same expectations as our parents. To this day, my grandmother on my mother's side is still trying to matchmake some of my cousins who are older than me, to their dismay. But she's currently weaning off a little bit, letting him just find who he likes, who he loves, and exploring his path of love. So it's like you said, Hiba, it's currently a battle, a conflict of two generations and their values, one that is more traditional and one that is more westernized, and just finding a medium for that. When we see partners, we have to consider our parents' expectations, and maybe that is a burden, or maybe that is not, or maybe that's just family values ingrained to us. But we are essentially a byproduct of our environments, and that's something that we can't necessarily change, and that's something to consider moving forward and defining love and what it means to us.
This is Hereabouts. I'm Hiba Butt.
And I'm Joyce Lam.
And you're currently listening to the February episode where we are speaking on the topic of love and what it means to the Asian American community in response to Viet Thanh Nguyen's opinion piece, Why We Struggle to Say I Love You.
What are your thoughts about?
Yeah, I think it definitely is just the house that you grow up in and the community that you grow up in. I think a place as diverse as Bloomington, which we see throughout the school year, we're constantly meeting people from different places, and we can definitely see how they've grown up and the way they express love and the way they treat their friends and their significant other and etc. For us, it's important that we are comfortable with ourselves before we go forward and try and find what this term love really means, because it's very complex. There's no one way to look for anything. And I think it's just something that we will figure out with time and with different people that we meet. But I do, like Joyce, you mentioned about your grandmother, she's always trying to set your cousins up.
Yeah.
That's something that in the future, because they have that very traditional idea, if some of us want to break the stereotype and maybe not get married and maybe do something different with our lives, that could be very pressuring because everyone wants you to be a certain way. And I think we just need to be comfortable with ourselves before we try and please other people. But that's very easier said than done, because there is a lot of pressure from our families, especially our parents and our grandparents and our older aunts and uncles, because they have only seen one side of the story, which is what they want us to follow as well. Would you agree?
Yeah, exactly. I agree with that. Growing up with our peers, having different expectations and different freedoms, for lack of a better word, what we have seen, it's hard. I think it's important for our generation to just have an open discussion with our parents of what love should mean.
I think also something to note is that our parents, obviously every person is different, and we're not trying to generalize all Asian parents, because obviously, some of them maybe grew up in the United States and are more accustomed to the quote-unquote Western values than we like to think. But in general, the way Joyce and I have spent time with our Asian friends, the way we have heard their story has allowed us to realize that we're more similar than different, and many of these factors kind of overlap. But I also think it is important to realize that everyone's different. Some Asian parents might be different than others. Some of them might not expect you to become a doctor. Some of them might say I love you and hug you. And I think that's just something different than what we're trying to get at.
Everyone's different. Everyone's raised differently. Everyone's raised with expectations, and everyone is allowed to follow their own path. And as we're wrapping up this episode, I wanted to talk about what love means to us, Hiba. So, Hiba, what does love mean to you?
That's such an interesting question, Joyce, because like I mentioned, it's so hard to define. But I think ultimately, for me, love goes back to like caring and the way you can care about someone, and not even just someone, but care about maybe just you love doing something like a hobby. I think something that is interesting is that love is ultimately, you kind of just assume it's between two people romantically when it can be in many different aspects. For me, it just goes back to the caring aspect of it, which I think I actually get from my family and like from these traditional Asian values of caring about, you know, if you're doing well, what you did today, have you eaten, have you been resting, are you taking care of your health, instead of just words of affirmation saying I love you. But it's a very difficult question, I think, to answer. What about you, Joyce? What is love to you?
I think you answered that question really well for the both of us. But to elaborate further, I would say love, it is caring for the individual that you care for, whether that's platonic or romantic. But in expressing that is more of a difficult circumstance to deal with. I just mirror the company I'm with, whether that is with my Asian friends, or whether that is with other friends that do not share the same experiences as me. I tend to show that I care, whether that is words of affirmation, acts of services, giving gifts. But for me, this is a very difficult question.
Now it's just got me kind of thinking about what love is, and if that's not the main question of life, then I don't know what else is. But I think it could also be interesting for everyone to figure out what their like love language is, whether it's receiving gifts or words of affirmation, quality time, acts of service, or like a physical touch. It could be interesting to kind of see what your main love language is. I think it will really help you kind of figure out the type of person that you can be in regards to love.
It's so interesting to see what HIPAA and my generation is experiencing with love versus the half generation, or our parents' generation, or grandparents' generation, what that means. And we're currently just defining it, essentially, making history with love. We are a byproduct of our environments, so what we surround ourselves with is essentially how we are going to define love. And moving forward, it's something to definitely note, consider, and think about, and even analyze what love really means. Are we going to mirror our parents with our children and perform acts of services instead of more so words of affirmation? Or are we going to be like, quote unquote, be more westernized and say, I love you a lot, to have physical touch with our loved ones, platonic, romantic? But we shall see.
I think it could be interesting to see how people figure it out, and how the both of us will figure it out too, Joyce.
And I think that's just a beautiful way to end the episode. I'm Joyce Lam.
I'm Hiba Butt.
And this was Hereabouts. Thank you for tuning in, and join us for our next episode for our feminist unit of Hereabouts.
You've been listening to Hereabouts.
Hereabouts is produced with the IU Asian Culture Center and broadcast from WFHB in Bloomington. Our theme music is by Eternal Youth.
Tune in to Hereabouts every other week from 5:30 to 6 on Wednesdays right here on WFHB.